the question that often comes up from students is, what do you mean when you say dynasty?
Right.
What do you mean when you say dynasty?
See, the king, stay the king, all right? So how do you get to be the king? Y'all don't know how to play chess, do you? So nothing, man. Look, I'll teach y'all if y'all want to learn.
What just happened in a dynasty rookie draft and Sony Michel just went at the 102? John, what are you thinking?
Hey, man. It's got to happen. Basically, what just happened was I had the first pick in the draft. I got Saquon Barkley. I traded him away for the fifth pick. And I took that fifth pick. With that fifth pick, I got a second round pick and Andrew Luck. Then I took that fifth pick and sent it on over to you, John Michael, and got the 103 and picked up Sony Michel because for some reason 102 went Josh Rosen, even though it's not a super flex league or a 2QB league. So, yeah, I'm really stoked. I'm really happy with that.
Look, I can't knock people for taking their guy like Rosen. I mean, if that's his guy, if he thinks he's the next huge thing, then so be it. But, man, I'm thinking, man, 104 is going to go Geis because Geis is still on the board. No, Sam takes Rashad Penny. What the hell is going on?
Well, I look at it this way. I mean, listen, I'm a Redskins fan. I'm a huge fan of Geis, but I just don't see if I'm picking at 104 and Sony Michel or Rashad Penny is still on the board. These are guys that have the catching ability, and obviously Rashad Penny did not, you know, show off that much catching ability in college. But Pete Carroll has said already that Penny's going to be the three down back. Penny's going to get all the opportunity, and you know Jay Gruden has just already said that Geis is not going to be in there on third down. Geis is not there for catching passes. We have Chris Thompson for that. So with the fourth pick and Penny still there, I want a guy who's going to get the most opportunity right off the bat. So I just went with Penny.
Welcome to the Dynasty Wire. I'm your host, Draft Genius, and I have my friends John and Sam with me from John and Sam's Fantasy Podcast. What's going on, boys?
Yeah, it's good
we
to be on.
So happy to be here.
Man, I mean, y'all started my morning crazy. This was insane. Man, look, before every show, this is my routine. I take a shower, I drink some green tea. You know, I love my green tea. And I eat me a tiny little meal to have my energy to just burst through that show. But, man, y'all made my energy shoot through the roof with those picks. First off, I just want to bring up the biggest news, I guess, of the week, and that's C.J. Anderson. Personally, I think it's an excellent fit for me. That's what I think. You know, that sort of 50-50 split, I don't think either one of them will get the boatload of work. You know, CMC getting all the passing downs, of course, but C.J. Anderson's going to be the touchdown racker.
To me, C.J. Anderson is just a better, younger, more efficient version of Jonathan Stewart. I think he rolls into that role right away. I mean, Jonathan Stewart had 200-plus touches last season that need to get accounted for, and I think Damian Williams there is the backup seed. They brought in C.J. Anderson on a prove-it deal, one-year deal, and I'm excited for C.J. Anderson here on the Panthers. I think he's a nice complement to CMC. Everybody thought Christian McCaffrey was going to go huge, going to become a big deal. I think he's going to be exactly what he was last season, and that's, you know, that fringe running back one. And C.J. Anderson gets to be that high upside running back two, I think, with a run-dominant team. That is exactly what they're trying to go back to and limit Cam's involvement in the run game.
Hey, that's great. CMC was, you know, top 15 running back by just catching passes and scoring touchdowns last year.
Yeah, just two things to say about that. First of all, I don't know why anyone, or if anyone, is surprised when you got C.J. Anderson. They didn't draft a running back. You knew that was going to happen. Christian McCaffrey is not the guy who's going to take, you know, who's going to run up the middle on early downs. He's just not that player. So, A, don't be surprised that they got C.J. Anderson. And, B, who cares? CMC is going to have the same role he had last year. And in PPR, he was a running back one. So I don't know what you're surprised. I don't know what you're worried about. It's like nothing's changed.
Who's the most underrated rookie that no one has on their radar that's going to start this year?
All right, I'll take a snag at this. I just wrote an article for the League Builders for this guy, and that's Anthony Miller. You know, I really I'm in absolute adoration for this guy. I love his landing spot on the Bears. He only has Taylor Gabriel to, you know, jump up ahead of. And to me, it's just, you know, it's clear cut to me that Anthony Miller there is the future. He has this chance to, you know, get a great rapport and become really great friends with Mitch Trubisky. And I think he complements Allen Robinson over there very well with his skill set. He has the ability to, you know, take that crossing and slant route. In my article, I mentioned that Anthony Miller ran about 42 to 48% out of the slot. And that's going to be his bread and butter, I think, on the Bears. He's going to go ahead and catch those passes from Mitch Trubisky. And Mitch Trubisky, 44 of his passes were, 10 yards or less, running a cross route, a slant, or a screen pass. So I think that's going to be exactly where Anthony Miller, you know, who's a physical guy. He's a physical wide receiver at 5'11 and 203 pounds. So, like, to me, I love Anthony Miller. I love him coming out of Memphis. Two seasons, 95 catches both season, and 1,400-plus yards. I mean, this guy's going to be a stud.
He's definitely a talented individual that the Bears kind of stole, in a sense. I think he's easily argued as the second-best wide receiver in this class, just based on landing spot and the future outlook that I have. Who you got, Sam?
Jamon Moore on the Packers. Packers drafted three wide receivers. Jamon Moore was the first of those to be taken, and I think, Randall Cobb's time there is limited. I think beyond that, you know, you've got, they spent a first-round pick on Moore, and I think any wide receiver with Aaron Rodgers has a chance to be extremely productive, and I think he eventually gets that starting role. And if he ends up being the second receiver, next to Adams with Rodgers as the quarterback, that's definitely a guy I want to own.
I'm with you on that. Jamon Moore can easily beat out Geronimo Allison. I think Geronimo Allison has the coaches backing in that situation. Jamon Moore is going to see playing time right away. He's a special teams guy, you know, similar to Dante Pettis. They're both going to see the field right away on special teams. So he's going to have a chance to get noticed before all the other rookie receivers that the Packers took. So I think that's a good little pick. My guy is none other than Deion Kane. I like Deion Kane a lot. He was my wide receiver 11 going into the draft, and I think I have him at wide receiver 10. I could be off a little bit right there. I think he has all the skills to succeed. Now, he's never had a huge season at Clemson.
My only thing for that is that I'm hearing rumblings that, you know, Chester Rogers is going to be the second guy behind T.Y. Hilton, and that whole offense kind of – I'm shying away from it as long as Andrew Luck is not throwing a football. And I'm scared about that. Now, I did just trade for Luck, but to me, you know, that offense is clearly running through the run game and through Jacoby Brissett's legs and maybe a little bit of T.Y. Hilton. I think it's going to be also in the tight ends with Jack Doyle and Eric Ebron. So I think he might be even the fourth or fifth option on that team, the way it looks like it's shaping up right now.
I've heard that, too. You know, I've heard Chester Rogers, too, but I think better athlete is Deion Kane, so that's who I have beating him out. What about your first player who gets replaced by a rookie this year? Who do you think that's going to be?
All right, to me, that's Marlon Mack. I think he gets replaced. I like both of the running backs that the Colts went ahead and drafted. So I love Nyheim Hines as the pass catching back, and Jordan Wilkins as the smasher through the numbers and through, you know, between the tackles. And I think Marlon Mack goes ahead and makes a bunch of dynasty owners cry by the end of this season because he is taken over by these two running backs.
What about you, Sam? I have a good one that I want to save for last.
Mine's not so crazy. Taylor Gabriel in Chicago, and as we talked about before, I think there's a lot of wide receiver two talent in this draft, and that's kind of what we're going to do. I think DJ Moore is going to take over and be the main wide receiver in Carolina. I think a lot of current wide receiver twos are going to be ousted by these rookies.
Yeah, I could totally see the DJ Moore thing. And I don't think Taylor Gabriel really loses his spot just because Nagy will put him at the Z spot and move Miller to the Y to where Miller's strictly playing out the slot. I'm not sure, I'm not sure in that Bears offense. I'm just excited for Trubisky, to be honest. My guy, and this will start some controversy, and I can't wait, is Joe Flacco. Lamar Jackson's going to beat out Joe Flacco. That's my bold prediction of the year. I know he's John's favorite quarterback of this draft class. Definitely wanted him to be a Patriot. And so if you want to take this time to argue against Lamar Jackson, I have a documentary of facts that I'm just going to outlay on why.
I'm just going to go ahead and say that it's not that I'm going to argue with you that Lamar Jackson might not be a QB1 or anything like that. I'm going to argue your point that he's going to take over for Joe Flacco by the end of this season. And to me, that's just not happening, barring any injury to Joe Flacco. First of all, I think Robert Griffin will back up Joe Flacco this season, and Lamar Jackson's going to sit and learn. But second of all, Joe Flacco, this is his team, and I don't think the team is quite ready or built to move on to that mobile quarterback. And I think it's going to need to take a regime change for Lamar Jackson to actually start. I think when Joe Flacco leaves, probably at the end of the season, that will be the end of Jim Harbaugh. That will be the end of this, you know, reign and this regime in Baltimore. And we'll see a new offense that is tailored toward the mobile quarterback to Lamar Jackson. And I do agree with you that Lamar Jackson will be a force to be reckoned with in the league in the seasons to come. But right now I'm just going to go ahead and argue with you that he will not take over this season in Baltimore.
I'm going to do kind of both sides, devil's advocate, because, you know, I'm pro Lamar Jackson big time. But what I'm hearing is Lamar Jackson hasn't even gotten in touch with Flacco and Griffin. They haven't even tried to reach out to Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's 6'3", 226 right now. He weighed in last in college at 216. Right now he's saying he's around 225, 226, which is
I think that's big. Generous.
It could be generous, but that's 16 pounds heavier than Mike Vick and 3 inches taller than Mike Vick. You know, he always gets compared to Mike Vick. So this is the only player to ever rush for 1,500 yards and pass for 3,500 yards in a season. And he did that twice, in 2016 and 17. So he has shown he's very talented, multi-talented. He's not just a running quarterback. He threw 69 touchdowns and ran for 50 more on the ground. So he had a very good resume. And then everybody brings up, oh, once he gets hit, though, he's down. Not necessarily. He was the 12th best among all players in the NCAA with 100 carries in his time playing at yards after contact. And he gained 4.1 yards after contact as an average. So I think he's better fitted for this offense as a 1-2 little read option, inverted veer, triple read, little quarterback counters with Alex Collins. That's why it's a bold prediction, I guess, in a sense. I do think that Joe Flacco will definitely start this year. I don't know if he starts all the way through the year, because if it's just a dumpster fire and they want to see what they got in the draft, then they might as well start him. But I definitely can see your point. I just really brought it up for the sake of pizzazz and argument to this little thing we have going on between me and you about Lamar Jackson. Just to mention, the only quarterback that was close to Lamar Jackson was Arizona's Khalil Tate, who I have first in my Devy rankings. He's my number one college prospect for next year as of right now. Just a little insight there. And also to mention, Lamar Jackson has the offense coordinator for Mike Vick. Whenever Mike Vick came back to the NFL and had a Pro Bowl season and earned the comeback player of the year, he has Marty Morningwig, who is a great West Coast offensive coordinator. And he also has Greg Roman, who was the OC for Colin Kaepernick whenever he was doing great in the 49ers. So I do think there's a lot to be said about all that. It's more of a Lamar Jackson intervention for John. That's really what this is.
Right. Stop ganging up on me. First it's Sony Michel, now it's Lamar Jackson.
I'm actually with you on Sony Michel.
Boom.
Hey, look, I'd rather have Sam for one. You know, at least. I have for the one that matters, because Lamar Jackson.
I'm definitely with you on Lamar Jackson. In terms of fantasy production, once he gets in there, I mean, he's just got a second gear. He's got that rushing game that none of these other guys have even close to, except for, you know, Baker Mayfield. You can argue he's got that a little bit as well. But he's just has this whole other side of his game that's going to win you fantasy points. And for fantasy purposes, he's just a guy.
Definitely. And would anybody really be surprised if he comes in, sets the league on fire like Mike Vick did, and has a better season than Deshaun Watson did last year? You know, Deshaun Watson was super efficient, but let's be honest, Lamar Jackson's a better athlete than Deshaun Watson.
No, I think it's very possible he comes in, does the same thing Deshaun Watson, you know, did. Deshaun Watson, you know, if you remember the beginning of last season, Deshaun Watson came in the first game, he wasn't very good. you know, he was terribly inaccurate.
I don't think Deshaun Watson is all the hype, to be honest with you. I'm selling high while I can. You know, I do think he's a top 15 quarterback, but I don't think he's a top five like he showed last year.
Yeah, 100%.
Any last comments, John, before I move on from this little intervention?
Yeah, no, I've said my piece. I've made it known on our podcast. I just think Lamar Jackson is going to break in half about a year or two into his career as a starter. I'm really questioning his size unless he starts running out of bounds, which I don't see likely happening. So to me, that's my big knock against him, that and his accuracy. But one thing I wanted to say about Deshaun Watson, what drives Deshaun Watson and what puts him above other QBs for me is the drive and the willingness and the competitiveness that he brings and his background, the chip on his shoulder that he has. He's a competitor and he's done it in the biggest moments of his career as a college starter. And I think that translates immensely. That's the intangibles that a lot of people are talking about when they talk about QBs. And that's what I look at when I see Deshaun Watson, more so than accuracy or running ability or things like that.
No explanation, rapid fire. Give me one or two late round rookie targets that you guys are targeting. And we'll start with John and then go Sam, then go me.
I think with Goddard, you know, falling to the Eagles and going behind Zach Ertz, I think he's going to drop immensely down a lot of people's board. I've been seeing him go as late as the end of the third, and I think that could be an absolute steal. You know, they say tight ends need time to develop. Well, take that 2-3 years on your taxi squad and go ahead and get Dallas Goedert. And when Zach Ertz's next contract extension comes up and he's not extended and he's old man Zach Ertz and he gets traded to a different team, you know, I think that's exactly where Dallas Goedert goes.
All right, what you got, Sam? Who's your guy?
All right, so I think this guy is at a third round ADP right now, but I'm going with Antonio Callaway.
Okay. I'm interested to see why you think Antonio Callaway.
Listen, I just believe in the talent there. If he can get the off field issues sorted out, you know, most analysts I've seen have talked about how Antonio Callaway has, you know, is a first round talent, and X, Y, and Z about him could have going in the first round if it weren't for his, you know, failed drug test. And obviously, yes, he's with Josh Gordon. Listen, if you're getting him in the third round, wherever you are in the third round, later on, you're throwing darts at the board. And Antonio Callaway has got the talent to come through if he can get the off-field issues behind him. So if you're spending a late third-round pick on him, you know, I think that's absolutely fine.
I like Callaway as a long-term, you know, option. I'm not really big on him because of his off-the-field issues. And he does have that sort of attitude towards him, you know, not a cockiness, but like I don't even know how to describe it, more of like a bad boy attitude, which I don't think the Browns need. So my guy is going to be a tight end. I figured you guys would go running back or wide receiver, so I tried to go away from the consensus. I'm going with Troy Fumagalli out of Wisconsin. He got drafted to the Denver Broncos. He's 6'5", 247, and he's an athletic freak. I do think he can beat out Jake Butt there for the tight end. Fumagalli is just, I think he's more of a beast than Butt. It's really a crapshoot because we don't know what Jake Butt's going to bring to the table at this point. You know, we saw him with Michigan. He was a dominant tight end. If healthy last year, he could have been argued as in David Njoku's tier, you know, by some analysts. That was a very, very clear argument you could state just based on college production. But Fumagalli is going in round five or undrafted. There's no better value you could get undrafted or in round five than him. So why not get a possible starting tight end in the fifth round? That's where I'm coming from. The other guy I had was Trey Quinn, just because I think he's a super athlete, and to go as Mr. Relevant is just going to make him want to succeed and boss on everybody who plays him. Real quick, I want to announce we will have a listener league that I will be a part of. One of my co-hosts will be a part of. Possibly another Dynasty host will be a part of. And John and Sam will also be a part of. This will take place, you know, throughout the offseason. We'll be gathering people, still figuring out how to be validated for a spot in this league. And it's going to be an extended Dynasty league, which is when you have, say, a 14-team league, but 10 people stay year to year, and the bottom four get cycled through. to where you get new people coming in, being a part of the league every year. There's always new faces joining in, and you have to be good. You have to succeed to stay in the league. You also have to beat us. So if you're interested in joining the Listener League, contact John and Sam or contact me. We'll give you our contact info at the end of the show, and you can possibly be a part of something great this season. Real quick, before we start our big surprise for the audience, what is your number one rule in Dynasty? John, you can go first.
All right. To me, my number one rule in Dynasty is try to restrict your league as little as possible. Like, you want as much fluidity, you want as much motion, you want as much like ability to trade, to cut players, to move players, to stack up draft picks, as stockpile them as much as you can. So if I have one advice for Dynasty leagues, my number one rule is go ahead and let your league be as free as possible.
What about you, Sam?
My number one rule, and I don't know if this is Dynasty specific, but it's something that I've grown more and more adamant about since, I have gotten more into the fantasy football world. And that rule is don't veto trades. Trades should go through right away, no matter what. If two consenting adults are agreeing to a trade, no one else in the league should have anything to say about it. If there's obvious collusion there, then you can talk to the commissioner about it and go back and reverse it. But, 99% of the time, all the leagues I've been in multiple leagues over multiple years, and I've had one issue of actual collusion, and that was, reversed. But I think giving the rest of the league the power to overturn your trade that you made with someone else is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think veto should be completely removed from leagues. If you have a respectable commissioner who's not going to collude or not going to hold a vendetta in a sense, because you have these people who say you have four or five people who don't like somebody or don't like their team, see their team getting stronger, and they're going to get together and collude themselves and veto a trade that this team makes.
Exactly. Sam and I in our league are in a league where we have a guy who made this huge trade, multiplayer trade with somebody, and then tried to gather votes like immediately afterwards so that he could get it vetoed because he realized how stupid and how much he got raped himself by the trade.
I've seen that so many leagues, and it's really kind of a shame. People just don't. I get sometimes it's for money, but it's mainly for fun. Nobody does this strictly for money, and if you do, then goodness gracious. You're out of the box. You're just, bye-bye now. Talk to you later. There is a fun aspect in this. This is entertainment at the most. So why
Absolutely.
Would you, this is an extra rule for the audience. Don't backtrack on things that you do. Don't try to renege on deals that you make verbally, without sending them through. If you say, hey, I'm going to trade you Darius Geis for Royce Freeman right now, and they agree and say, okay, that's good, but you don't send it, and then you say, well, I didn't send it, so I don't want to do it. Don't do that. So my rule is don't overvalue picks. I've been talking about this probably for the past three shows I've done and the few guest appearances I've done. Do not overvalue picks. I saw the 101 go for Todd Gurley in two leagues I'm in. That's outrageous. That's the epitome of stupidity in a trade. Trading the consensus best dynasty running back right now, at least, I think is consensus from what I've seen. And trading that for an unknown quantity in Saquon Barkley, who can still end up like Joe Mixon did last year, or he can, burst out the gates and have a top three RB season right away. No one knows. Everybody has bust potential as a rookie because no one has stepped foot on the football field in the NFL, put on the pads, and put in the work. That's the main point. So yep. Don't overvalue rookie picks. You know better, so do better. So now we're going to start a rookie mock. We're going to go 12 teams, two rounds. First is going to be Sam picking, then me, then John, and then we're going to alternate every fourth team. I'll lead up to the fourth team whenever it's time for that. So first we're going to go team one. Who are you going with the 101? Definitely the consensus with Barkley there. The second pick of the draft. I'm going to go Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb is my RB1 right now. I just moved him up this week to my RB1 out of this rookie class. And call me crazy, but I'm holding on to Nick Chubb. I'm holding on to Nick Chubb as a freshman. You know, whenever he was 100% healthy, I believe he is 100% healthy now. Nick Chubb put up a stat line that not even Barkley did. In his whole career, as a freshman, he did this. As a freshman, Nick Chubb ran for 1,500 yards, 14 touchdowns, and caught 213 yards, and he put two touchdowns on that. This past year, he split time with Sony Michel, had 1,300 yards and 15 touchdowns. Nick Chubb can do all of this for the Browns, and I think they took him for a reason when they did, because the Browns really haven't taken a running back in the draft from what I can remember. And I think Hyde moves on next year to another team, and Duke Johnson may be right out the door too, instead of renewing his contract and focusing it all on Nick Chubb. So 103, we have John.
Yeah, 103. I took him in our actual rookie draft, and I'm going to take him here. He's still my second running back off the board. He's my second guy off the board, and that's Sony Michel, the workhorse back. I think Rex Burkhead takes a hit here, and I think James White is the real loser here with this draft choice from them.
First, we'll go Sam. You'll get the first team four pick. So who you got at the fourth overall?
All right, the fourth overall, again, just like John just did, I'm going right who I took in our little draft we had earlier today, and that's Rashad Penny. As I said before, I think Rashad Penny, after Saquon Barkley, Rashad Penny has the clearest path to a full three-down load. Pete Carroll has already said they're going to use Rashad Penny as a three-down back. So that offensive line scares me a little bit, but I think opportunity is much more important than the offensive line. So Rashad Penny is who I'm taking with. What are we at, the fourth pick?
All right, so Darius Geis at the 105. At 106, I'm forced to go with my guy, Royce Freeman. I think Freeman is definitely one of the better overall backs in this draft, and I think he can be this year's Alvin Kamara in a sense of just explosive onto the scene, just an explosivity that he brings to the game. One thing he does have is he has not injury history, but a little minor nicks and bruises. But I think if you look past all that, this guy has performed. You know, this guy is, he's definitely a good talent, and the Broncos needed someone to replace CJ Anderson because they're not going to roll out with Devontae Booker. Freeman's going to get the shot at the starting job out the gate, and I think he can very much succeed in this opportunity. How about 107, John?
All right, this might be shocking, but to me, this guy has been my number one wide receiver going into the draft, and I loved his landing spot, and that's Calvin Ridley. I love where Calvin Ridley ended up. I think he's going to line up perfectly alongside Julio Jones. I think with Matt Ryan there, he's going to be fantastic. And I think, you know, he's a pure route runner. He's the Antonio Brown of this class. Everything about him, just the way he runs his routes, it's smooth. He runs himself open. He can cut on a dime. He has explosive speed. And I just love everything about Calvin Ridley. And to me, he's the number one wide receiver in this draft class.
Wow, wow, wow. Okay, I have to hold that one in. I'm making note for later. Hey, look. You're the shocker, man. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, at 108, I'm taking DJ Moore because I kind of want to talk about DJ Moore. I think DJ Moore be Stephon Diggs 2.0. At Maryland, he broke all kinds of records. You know, he went very under the radar. Not many people knew DJ Moore until the talk of the offseason happened. DJ Moore was one of the best wide receivers in the NCAA this year. He surpassed, you know, Stephon Diggs' numbers. He broke the records at Maryland. He even wore Stephon Diggs' jersey. He is definitely going to burst onto the scene and could provide an instant upside that Stephon Diggs has as well. The Panthers need that. The Panthers need a receiver like this. I've comped him to Steve Smith Sr., and I think he can provide that wide receiver one potential with Cam Newton's big arm. At the 109, we have Sam again. Who you got, Sam?
To be a wide receiver one, I think Dallas now is like a barren wasteland of wide receivers. I think Dallas, who managed to improve on everything, that's, you know, better from the second year.
Yes. Michael Gallup is my wide receiver one. Oh, man. I was hoping I would be able to take him so I could talk about him, but you took him, and I cannot thank you enough. That's all I want to do is run and scream and shout for joy. You did it. You did it. You did it. You made me so happy. John, let's go with you.
All right, for me, this may, you know, come as a little shock. Kerryon Johnson.
There it is.
Kerryon Johnson. Detroit hasn't had a good running back in ever, you know, since Sanders. I love Kerryon Johnson here. He has the potential to be a real true down, three down back. And I really like him. I liked him going into the draft. I had him going into the draft as somebody, as a rookie pick that might come in at the end of the first round. And I think that's exactly where he's going to come in, you know, that 107, 108 pick. He's got that speed. He's really patient. To me, I comp him to a DeMarco Murray. I've heard that comp being thrown around as well in some other places. You know, he runs a little upright, but he's really patient, got great vision, and he really lets the play set up, the whole setup for him before he goes ahead and explodes out of it.
So let's see. We have Barkley, Chubb, Michelle, Penny, Geis, Freeman, Kerryon Johnson at running back, all taken. Then we have Calvin Ridley, DJ Moore, and Michael Gallup. Oh, man. I guess I'm going to have to do it. And I really don't like this player, but the value you're getting right here is something that you can't really pass up. And I'm going to go Ronald Jones. And I haven't really argued for Ronald Jones, so this is going to be something different for me. And this is me facing my deepest, darkest fear. So Ronald Jones comes from USC. He's 6 foot, 200 pounds. Might be bigger now. From what I've seen watching his film, he maintains really good pad level when he runs. He runs low. He's patient. And he lets the play develop before he goes into the hole, similar to Le'Veon Bell's running skills. And he can catch similar to Le'Veon Bell. You know, he has really good hands. The thing with me that concerns him is he lacks size and he has a small frame. He is horrible at pass blocking. He's not a great receiver. He has to show potential that he can be an amazing wide receiver to be that every down all around back. I think his best player comparison is Jamaal Charles. Not just based on how they play, I guess, but based on the specific skills they lacked coming into the league. Jamaal Charles only caught maybe 20 passes at Texas before he got into the NFL. And then look what he's known as. He's known as a great can-do-it-all back. So I think Ronald Jones could be on that trajectory to be a Jamaal Charles. Had his best fit as the Denver Broncos, coincidentally, not the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Raiders. But I do think he can instantly take over that running back job because no one has it. It's Peyton Barber right now, and that's it. Peyton Barber and maybe Charles Sims, but Charles Sims hasn't done anything in 2 years. Jaquizz Rodgers, Peyton Barber, Charles Sims, they just had people coming off the street to play running back. So I do think Ronald Jones is a great value here, and for that reason I'm taking him because value trumps rankings every day. So for the last pick of this draft, John, it's on you.
To me, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take the first tight end off the board. And this is really, to me, only one of the, you know, viable tight end picks in this draft. And that is Mike Gesicki. You know, he was the combine darling. He was the stud in the combine. And he fell to the Dolphins. I think that was a steal for them. They really needed a that position. And with Goddard going to the Eagles, and Mark Andrews and Hayden Hurst going to the Ravens, you know, they doubled up there. One would be good, but having both kind of clouds both of them. So to me, the clear number one tight end in this class for me is Mike Gesicki. And he's physical. He's a 41 vertical, and he's just going to get all over that those jump balls. And, you know, he's on the lighter side as a tight end. I think he's like 241, 245, something like that. So I really see him going into the Dolphins to Miami and being that Evan Ingram, you know, wide receiver style tight end. And because of that, I think he's able to get onto the field earlier than a tight end normally would. I think we'll be able to see him, you know, year one rather than have to wait on a tight end for 2 or 3 years.
Excellent. I'm with you on that. If there's a tight end who can beat out Evan Ingram's numbers from last year, who is it? Who is it besides Gesicki? It's going to be Gesicki. That's the only tight end that can get past Evan Ingram's numbers. Gesicki is a uber athletic entity at the tight end position. And what team needs a tight end more than the Dolphins, who lost everybody? I don't know. So, Sam, who is your draft winner and your draft loser from this first round?
So, I really like your pick of Royce Freeman.
So, who's your draft loser? Real quick, just give me a name and a short little summary why.
The winner has to be Michael Gallup. I love Michael Gallup. I love his landing spot and wide receiver there. He's really the only option. And to me, the loser is Ronald Jones. I don't think he's a first-round talent at all.
Thank you. Thank you.
I get excited when people pick Ronald Jones in the first round because that means somebody in the second round is getting to me that I didn't think would get all that far. I love it when they pick him in the first round. Don't get me wrong, but he's not supposed to be there. I don't think he's the option. And you know what? I heard the Bucks already came out, I think it was yesterday, and said that at least to begin with, Ronald Jones and Peyton Barber are going to be splitting in that carries. So no thank you.
Don't you just love it? Don't you just love it whenever you can go to free agency and pick up a Peyton Barber for free? You can pick up somebody who's going to start for free that nobody's paying attention to because the hype monster is around a small-framed running back who isn't playing in a functional offense that fits his skill set. I think they need somebody who can hit hard. I think they need a pounder like Doug Martin kind of did or Jacquizz Rodgers did in this time playing. I mean, I would take Courtland Sutton over Ronald Jones, and Courtland Sutton is the wide receiver 3 in Denver, who I think supplants either Demaryius Thomas or Emmanuel Sanders this year, but that's a totally different discussion. I think I would take Anthony Miller over him and Christian Kirk, possibly. There's a lot of players 100%. I would take over Ronald Jones. He's just he makes me sick to my stomach. I used to like him for a long time, but then I started delving more into his film, and it kind of set me on the course where I'm just getting more sad as I reach – you know, more and more film on this guy. I really did like Freeman, but I'm not going to choose myself as a winner. That's silly. I'm going to choose Kerryon Johnson. And it's about time I agree with John on something. I mean, Kerryon Johnson, you know, they have LeGarrette Blount there. They have Amir Abdullah, who I think Amir Abdullah gets traded. They have Theo Riddick. They have Teon Green, who showed he could be a serviceable back last year. But they also drafted Kerryon Johnson in the second round. It shows that yeah, he has draft capital. It shows they want to feature Kerryon Johnson in their game, and I think they can give him the first, second, and fourth down carries if they go on fourth down. I think third down's locked up to Theo Riddick. I think he showed he can still have hands. You know, eventually he'll get replaced, but he was serviceable last year and hasn't shown any drop. So I do like the Kerryon Johnson pick a lot. I would probably take him, took him at 109 in a draft. I even took him at 107 in a draft because it just went all running backs, and I needed to get that last running back. So I would probably take him highest at 107. My loser is going to be Ronald Jones because, man, we just hate Ronald Jones here. And I don't even want to pick another loser. For round two, the guys that we would be targeting are we're going Courtland Sutton, Anthony Miller, DJ Chark, also Christian Kirk, James Washington, and Hayden Hurst. What we do here every show is give what we call a smart theft.
It's a robbery. Call the police for me.
This isn't in the show notes because I like to catch people off guard. So smart theft is basically a player you're trying to get a trade for or you're trading for that nobody else is high on but you. Or you see value there that it's not perceived as in the public. So who would your smart theft be right now?
I'm going to go with a guy that we haven't really talked about on this podcast yet today, but John and I have talked about him a little bit in the past, and that's Kiki Cootie.
Awesome. I think Kiki Cootie is very underrated in this wide receiver draft class, and I think he can be one of those instant flex plays, you know, as soon as the season starts. Because the one thing the Texans are missing is a receiving running back and a slot receiver. And they have the slot receiver now. So, John, what you got for me?
All right, this is a guy that I've loved for the past two seasons. I've actually went ahead and traded, you know, Tyreek Hill for this guy. This is a player that I feel like gets no love in the NFL. I don't know, because he might be like a dirty player in the sense that he doesn't, you know, he's not flashy. He doesn't do anything, you know, Calvin Johnson or anything, you know, Julio Jones-esque. But that's Doug Baldwin. I love Doug Baldwin. You know, he's a slot monster. He's got fifth most yards per route run from the slot since 2006. I just love everything about him. He's, you know, he is Russell Wilson's go-to guy. He's, you know, PFF's highest ranked wide receiver out of the slot for the last 2 or 3 years. And I think he is the receiving option now that Jimmy Graham is gone and Tyler Lockett's really the only other guy there. Paul Richardson is gone. So, and they don't really have a run game, maybe with Rashad Penny now, but Doug Baldwin is what the offense goes through at this point, and everything about Doug Baldwin is somebody that I'm trying to trade for, and he's a fantastic wide receiver two option on any dynasty team, and I'm trying to trade for him.
Doug Baldwin has what it takes to be a wide receiver one for you. He has shown in the past he can be a wide receiver one for a team. I mean, he's the only option they have there. They're not going to give it to Amara Darbo. Please, please don't ever say that to me. They're not going to give it to Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett, fun fact for you guys, he actually is one of the slowest players play speed-wise in the NFL. If you take his play speed and match it to all the other play speeds across players in skill positions in the NFL, he's one of the slowest. Isn't that weird? This guy blazed in the 40, and with the ball in his hands, he runs slower. It's kind of insane. The person that's my smart theft, and I hope I can catch you guys agreeing on this, is Marshawn Lynch. Everybody's forgetting about Marshawn. This is a guy who, albeit the line isn't as good as it was, you know, a couple of years back, but who else is going to run the ball? It's not going to be a 50-50 between him and Doug Martin. They have Marshawn Lynch there, and for him to stay this season, they needed to tell him, hey, we're not going to stray away from you. You know, we're going to give you the rock. We're going to give you the boatload of carries. This is a running back one that's not going in dynasty startups until round 9 or round 10. This is a starting running back in the NFL. There's only 32 of them at most. Why not let all 32 go in the first 4 or 5 round of a draft, of a startup draft? You got Marshawn Lynch you could get at round 10, and it doesn't make sense.
I'm going to agree with you only because John Gruden's come out and said, hey, you know what? We're going to run this team like it's 1998, and we're going to pound the ball. And who better to pound the ball than Marshawn Lynch? So exactly. To me, running a 1998 offense where you're just going to run, Marshawn Lynch is your guy. So, yeah, that's the only reason that I'm agreeing with you here.
Play smart and see some of these trends that we're looking at to where you can perceive the value for themselves. I'm Draft Genius, and you can find me at The Draft Genius on Twitter, on SleeperBot at SW Draft Genius, and be sure to check out the SleeperWire show at the SleeperWire show on Twitter. We also have a Patreon for Dynasty Wire, patreon.com/DynastyWire, where patrons get extreme benefits that nobody else gets. Where can they find you guys at, John and Sam?
You can find me at JON_MARGULIS. And you can find the pod at JON_SAMFFPOD. And you can find Sam at AVISHAI41. We always open to answering questions and chatting us up, tweeting us. We'll answer your questions.
You guys have a website. You're working with the League Builders, right?
Yeah. We got a content site just went up. All fresh content going up every day, new stuff, and it's going to be crazy. This new platform's coming out.
I looked at it. It looks promising, so gives that little thing a look at and a read and possibly might fit into your plans in the future. This is the Draft Genius, and you have just listened to the Rookie Mock episode of The Dynasty Wire and the Lamar Jackson intervention. Just know that Alex Collins will be our RB1 this year and Lamar Jackson is the GOAT.
See this? This the kingpin, all right? And he the man. You get the other dude's king, you got the game.